great plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents as the sixth in the series of great plays, Shakespeare's Macbeth. It might be truly said of this play, not for an age, but for all time. For Macbeth is one of the world's great tragedies. Many eminent critics make out a good case for placing it first in the world's tragedies. Before the play opens, Scotland is torn asunder by a rebellion, which the king's captains, Macbeth and Banquo, have been sent out to quell. A battle has been fought and won, and the victorious generals are returning to bring Duncan, their king, the good news. A lonely, windswept heath beyond a ridge of rocky hills silhouetted against a bloody sunset. Flashes of lightning, roll of thunder, wind, rain, and in the distance the dying sounds of battle. In the deepening twilight, three weird creatures, bent, bowed, misshapen, hover in the shadows of a twisted tree.
Where hast thou been, sister, killing swine? Look what I have. Show me, show me. Here I have a pile of salt. Wrapped us home what we have come.
A drum, Macbeth doth come.
The weird sisters, hand in hand, posters of the sea and land, thus do go about, thrice to thine, and thrice to mine, and thrice again to make up nine. This, the charm round up.
So foul and fair a day I have not seen.
Oh, forest to forest.
What are these so withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth and yet are on't? You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so. Eat if you can. What are you?
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Blums. All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Corder. All hail, Macbeth, that shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly ye show? To me you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me.
Hail!
Hail!
Hail! Lesser than Macbeth, and greater. Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none.
Stay, you imperfect speaker, tell me more. By sign of death, I know I'm Thane of Glamis. But how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives a prosperous gentleman, and to be king stands not within the prospect of the leaf, no more than to be Cawdor. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence. Speak, I charge you. The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whipper up, they vanished.
Into the air, and what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed.
Were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane root that takes the reason prisoner?
Your children shall be king.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor too, went not so?
To the selfsame tune and words. Who's here?
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks, not pay thee.
And for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor.
What, can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes?
Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. For treason's capital confessed and proved have overthrown him.
Thanks for your pains. Rams and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind. Banquo, do you not hope your children shall be kings when those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promise no less to them?
That trusty home might yet enkindle you unto the crown beside the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange, and oft times to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles, to betray us in deepest consequence.
Cousins, were that way. True, true, that told us happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme. This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill, cannot be good. If ill, why had it given me earnest of success commencing in a truth? I am Thane of Cawdor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shapes so my single state of man. That function is smothered in surmise, and nothing is but what is not.
Look how our partner's wrapped.
If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir.
New honors come upon him like our strange garments. Cleave not to them old, but with the aid of youth.
Come what come may, time and the hour run through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Give me your favor. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Let us toward the king.
Thankful. Think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts each to other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough.
Come, friends.
King Duncan has somewhat unwillingly ordered the execution of the Thane of Cawdor, who led the rebellion that has just been crushed. Duncan, in his palace at Forres, anxiously awaits the return of his victorious generals, Macbeth and Banquo.
Is execution done on Cawdor? Are not those in commission yet returned?
My liege, they are not yet come back. But I have spoke with one that saw him die. Nothing in his life became him like the lead in it.
There's no art to find the mind's construction in the face. He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust. Oh, worthiest, worthiest Macbeth. The sin of my ingratitude even now is heavy on me. Only I have left to say, more is thy due than more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe in doing it pays itself. Your Highness' part is to receive our duties, and our duties are to your throne and state, children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honor.
Welcome hither, my plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen, thanes, know we will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland.
Prince of Cumberland!
From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
The rest is labor which is not used for you. I'll be myself the harbinger and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So humbly take my leave.
My worthy Cawdor.
Prince of Cumberland, that is a step on which I must fall down or else or leap. For in my way it lies. I'll hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand. Yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
In a room at Inverness, Lady Macbeth is reading a letter from her husband.
They met in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air into which they vanished. While I stood wrapped in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail King that shall be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou might not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart, and farewell. Glance thou up, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, or not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. I thee hither, that I may pour my spirit in thine ear, and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impede thee from the golden realm, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou art mad to say it. Is not thy master with him, who were so would have informed for preparation?
So, Peter, it's true. Our friend is coming. One of my fellows has the feet of him. Almost dead from bed, has scarcely more, and will make up this message.
Give him tending. He brings great news.
Yes, my lady.
The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend down mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctuous visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep pace between the effect and it. Come, thick night, and fall me in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peace through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold!
My dearest love.
Great Glumps! Worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all-hailed hereafter. Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in me.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my fane, is as a book where men may read strange matter. To beguile the time, look like the time, look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To all the favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
To the frowning gate of Macbeth's castle comes the gentle king.
The castle hath a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle sense.
My lady.
Oh, see our honored hostess. Oh, the love that follows us sometimes is our trouble, which still we thank as love. Here and I teach you how you shall bid God yield us for your pains and thank us for your trouble.
All our service in every point, twice done and then done double, were poor and single business to contend against those honors deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities heaped up to them, we rest your hand.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? We coursed him at the heels and had a purpose to be his purveyor. But he rides well, and his great love, sharp as his spur, hath halted him to his home afore us. Fair and noble hostess, we are your guests tonight.
Your servant, ever.
Give me your hand. Conduct me to mine host. We love him highly, and shall continue our graces towards him. By your leave, hostess.
Macbeth, tortured by doubts and fears and no longer able to endure the presence of the king, steals away to be alone.
If 'twere done, when 'tis done, then 'twere well 'twere done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all here. But here upon this bank and shoal of time, we'd jump the life to come. live here in double trust. First, that I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed. Then, as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, not bear a knife myself. Besides this Duncan, hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation of his taking off. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only a vaulting ambition which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other. How now? What news?
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Have he asked for me?
No, you naughty hell.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which will be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since and waked it now to look so green and pale as what it did so freely? From this time such I account thy love. Wouldst thou have that which thou esteemest the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, reckoning I dare not wait upon I would like the poor cat of the attic?
Prithee, peace, I dare do all that may become a man who dares do more is none.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you dost do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. I have given suck, and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this.
If we should fail.
We fail. But screw your courage to the sticking place, and we'll not. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his hard day's journey soundly invite him? His two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the water of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbic only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon this ungodly Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Will he not be deceived when we have marked his blood, we sleep it too of his own chamber, and use their very daggers that they have done?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our grief and clamor roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal legion to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with careless show. False faith must hide what the false heart doth know.
The courtyard of the castle, the dead of night.
How goes the night, boy?
The moon is down. I have not heard the clock.
Thank you. Give me my sword. Who's there?
Friend.
Watch, not yet at rest. The king's abed. This diamond, he greets your wife withal, by the name of most kind hostess, and shut up in measureless content. Being unprepared, our will became the servant to defect, which else should free have wrought. All's well. I dreamt last night of the three weird sisters. To you, they have showed some truth.
I think not of them. Yet when we can entreat an hour to serve, we would spend it in some words upon that business, if you would grant the time.
At your kind leisure?
If you shall cleave to my consent, when tis, it shall make honor for you.
So I lose none in seeking to augment it, but still keep my bosom franchised and the legions clear, I shall become.
Good repose the while.
Thanks, sir. I like you.
So, bid thy mistress when my drink is ready, she strike upon the bell. Get thee to bed.
I'm in awe. Good night.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand. Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feelings, to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of a mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat of present brain? I see thee yet. In form as palpable as this which now I draw, How marshlessly the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes have made the fools of the other senses, or else were all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon, gouts of blood, which was not so before. No such thing. It's a bloody business which informs us to mine eyes. Now, o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale-headed offerings, and with a murder, alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf who howls his watch. Thus, with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides, towards his design, moves like a ghost. How sure and firm set earth, hear not thy steps which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Oh, while thy threat he lives, words to the heat of deeds, too cold for rescues. I go. When it is done, the bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
That which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Hark. It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman which gives the stern good night. He is about it. The doors are open and the surfeited grooms do mop their charge with snores. I have drugged their posses that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die.
Oh, who's there?
Oh, alack! I am afraid they have awaked and tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confound us.
Oh.
Hark. I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done it. My husband...
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the cricket cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
Had I descended?
I...
Hark! Who lies at the second chamber?
Donald Bane.
My hands. This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
As one did laugh in his sleep and one cried murder, that they did wake each other. I stood and heard them. But they did say their prayers and addressed them again to sleep.
They were locked together, the two.
One cried, God bless us, and amen, the other, that they had seen me with these hangman's hands. Listening to their fears, I could not say amen when they did say, God bless us.
Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could I not pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing. And amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be sought after these ways. So it will make us men.
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more, Macbeth, but murder sleep. Venus, sleep. Sleep that makes up the rattle sleeve of care. The death of each day is life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life.
Sleep. What do you mean?
Still it cried. Sleep no more. To all the house, lambs have murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Not death shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why, worthy king, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain-sickly a king. Go, get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I'm afraid to think what I have done. Look on again, I dare not.
In firm purpose, give me the daggers. sleeping in the dead daub of his pictures. As the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms withal, for it must seem they're guilty.
When is that knocking? Oh, how is it with me when every noise appalls me? What hands are here? Oh, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash his blood clean from my hand? No. This hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. Hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy it is then. Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark. More knocking. Get on your nightgown. Let occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your hawk.
Oh, no, my deed. Where best not know myself. Wait, Duncan, with thy knocking. I was thou could.
Knocking indeed. If a man were porter of Hellgate, he should have old turning the key.
Knock, knock, knock.
Who's there in the name of Beelzebub? Knock, knock. Who's there in the other devil's name? Knock, never a quiet. What are you? This place is too cold for hell. I'll devil porter it no further. I thought to have let in some of all professions that go the primrose way to the everlasting bonfire. None. I pray you, remember the poor.
Was it so late, friend, ere you went to bed, that you do lie so late? Is thy master stirring? Our knocking hath awaked him. Here he comes.
Good morrow, noble sir.
Good morrow, both.
Is the king stirring with his thane?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him. I've almost slipped the hour.
I'll bring you to him.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you, but yet tis one.
The labor we delight in, physic's pain. This is the door.
I'll make so bold to call, for 'tis my limited service.
Goes the king hence today? Goes the king hence today?
Yes, he does. He did appoint so.
The night has been unruly. Where we lay, our chimneys were blown down. And as they say, lamentings heard of the air, strange screams of death, and prophesying with accents terrible of dire combustion and confused events, new hatched to the woeful times. Some say the earth was feverish and it shakes.
Oh, the rough name.
Oh, horror! Horror, horror!
What's the matter? Confusion, thou hast made his masterpiece. Most sacrilegious murder hath broke up the Lord's anointed temple and stole thence the life of the building.
What is to say of the life?
See you, his majesty.
Approach the chamber and destroy your sight with a new gorgon. Do not bid me speak. See, and then speak yourself.
Awake! Awake! Ring the alarm bell, murder and treason! Benfro and Donald Bain, melt from the wave! As from your grave, rise up and walk like spikes, the pulsing of the power! Ring the bell!
Oh, what's the business that such a hideous trumpet calls the parley, the sleeper?
There's more for you to hear what I can speak.
What? Oh, Benfro, Benfro, our royal master's murdered.
Oh, enough! What's in our house?
Too cruel anywhere. Here doth I prithee contradict thyself and say it is our fault.
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time. Renown and grace is dead. The wine of life is drawn, and a mere leaf is left this vault to Branagh. You are, and do not know it. The sting, the head, the fountain of your blood is stopped. The very thought of it.
Your royal father's murdered.
Oh, by whom?
Those in his chamber, as this deed had done.
Their hands and faces were all badged with blood. Oh. So were their daggers, which unwiped we found upon their pillow.
Oh, yes, I do repent thee of my stories, I did kill them.
Wherefore?
Who can be wise and maid, temperate and purest, loyal and neutral in a moment?
Huh?
No man. Here lay Duncan, his silver skin, laced with his golden blood.
Oh.
There the murderers, steeped in the color of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore. Who could restrain that had a heart to love, and in that heart courage make his love known?
Help me, hence!
Look to the lady! Fears and scruples shake us. In the great hand of God I stand, and thence against the undivulged pretense I fight. Of treasonous malice.
So do I.
Oh,
let's briefly put on manly readiness and meet in the hall together.
What will you do, Mother? Let's not consort with them. I'll to England.
To Ireland, I. Our separated fortune shall keep us both the safer.
This murderous shaft that shot hath not yet lighted, and now safest way is to avoid the aim. Therefore, to horse, and let us not be dainty of leave-taking, but shift away!
With the murder of Duncan and the successful covering up of his guilt, Macbeth seizes the crown. The witch's prophecy is fulfilled. Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are crowned King and Queen of Scotland.
Thou hast it now, King Corder Glamthal, as the weird women promised, and I fear thou playedst most foully for it. Yet it was said it should not stand in thy posterity, but that myself should be the root and father of many kings. But hush no more.
Our chief guest.
If he had been forgotten, it had been as a gap in our great feast, and all thing unbecoming.
Thankful. Ride you this afternoon.
Aye, my good lord. We should have else desired your good advice in this day's council. Thought we'll take tomorrow. It's far you ride.
As far, my lord, as you'll fill up the time twixt this and supper.
Fail not our feast.
My lord, I will not.
Tie you to horse. Adieu. Till you return tonight.
Goes fiance with you. Aye, my good lord. Our time does call upon.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot, and so I do commend you to their backs. Farewell.
Well,
let every man be master of his time till 7 at night. While then, God be with you.
Thank you, my lord.
Sirrah, a word with you. Send those men our pleasure.
They are, my lord, without the palace gate.
Bring them before us.
Aye, my lord.
To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus. Our fears in Banquo stick deep. And in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. He chid the sisters when first they put the name of king upon me, and bade them speak to him. And prophet-like they hailed him father to a line of kings. Upon my head they placed a fruitless crown and put a barren scepter in my gripe, thence to be wrenched with an unlineal hand, no son of mine succeeding. If it be so, for Banquo's issue have I filed my mind. Or them, the gracious Duncan, have I murdered. What rankers in the vessel of my peace, only for them. And mine eternal jewel given to the common enemy of man. To make them kings, a seed of Banquo kings. Rather than so, come fate into the list and the champion me to the utterance.
Release!
Release!
Was not yesterday we spoke together?
It was, so please, your highness.
Well then, have you considered of my speeches? Do you find your patience so predominant in your nature that you can let this go?
I am one, my liege, whom the vile blows and buffets of the world have so incensed. I am reckless what I do to spite the world.
And I another, so weary with disaster, struck with fortune, that I would set my life on any chance to mend it or be rid on it.
Both of you know Banquo was your enemy.
True, my lord.
So is he mine, and in such bloody distance that every minute of his being thrusts against my nearest of life.
We shall, my lord, perform what you command us.
So our lives...
Your spirit shine through you. Within this hour at most, I will advise you where to plant yourselves, acquaint you with a perfect eye of the time, the moment hunt, what must be done tonight, and with him, to leave no rubs nor botches in the work. Leon's son that keeps him company must embrace the fate of that dark hour.
Resolve yourselves apart. I'll come to you anon.
We are resolved, my lord.
I'll call upon you three to bide within.
Aye, my lord.
It is concluded. Banquo, thou thy soul's flight, if it find heaven, must find it out tonight.
Is Banquo gone from court?
Aye, madam, but returns again tonight.
Say to the king I would attend his leisure for a few words.
Madam, I will.
Not have all spent where our desire is got without content. It is safer to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord? Why do you keep alone the sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died within their sink on? Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We've scotched the snake, not killed it. She'll close and be herself, whilst our poor malice remains in danger of her former truth. Better be with the dead, whom we, to gain our peace of sense of peace, than on the torture of the mind to lie in a restless ecstasy.
Gentlemen, lord, sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
Oh, full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance live.
But in them native copies not eternal.
There's comfort yet. They are assailable. And be thou jocund, ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black hecate summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hum that hath wrung night's yawning peal. There shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me tailed. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the roofy wood. Good things of day begin to drope and drowse, while night's black agents to their praise do rouse. How marvelous at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill. So, prithee, go with me. You know your own degrees. Sit down, at first and last, a hearty welcome.
Thanks, Your Majesty.
Ourself will mingle with society and play the humble host. Our hostess keeps her state, but in best time we will require her welcome.
Throw now before me, sir, to all our friends, for my heart speaks they are welcome.
Thank you,
Majesty. See, they encounter thee with our heart, thanks. Both sides are even. Here, I sit in the midst. Village in mirth. And none will drink a measure of the table around.
Lord.
There's blood upon thy face.
Is Banquo, then?
That is better thee without than he within, if he dispatched.
My lord, his throat is cut. That I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroat. Yet he's good that is the life of Fleance.
Most royal, sir. Fleance escaped.
Then comes my fit again. I had else been perfect. But Banquo's safe.
Aye, me good lord. Safe in a ditch he bides, with 20 trenchant gashes on his head. At least in best nature.
Thanks for that. Get thee gone. Tomorrow we'll hear ourselves again.
Aye, my lord.
The royal lord, you do not give the cheer. The feast is so that is not often vouched while 'tis a making. 'Tis given with welcome.
Sweet remembrance, sir. Now good digestion wait on appetite and health on both.
May it please your highness sit.
Here had we now our country's honor root. Where the great person of our Banquo present.
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Please it, your highness, to grace us with your royal company.
The table full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord. What is the move, your highness?
Which of you have done this?
What, my good lord?
Thou canst not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me.
The gentleman, rise. His highness is not well.
Sit, worthy friends. And the lord is orphaned thus, and hath been from his youth. Pray you keep seat. The fit is momentary. Upon a thought he will be well again. Heed and regard him not. Are you a man?
Aye, and the bold one that dare look on that which might appall the devil.
Oh, proper stuff. This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said led you to Duncan. Why do you make such faces? When all then you look but on a stool.
Pretty, see there. Behold, look, lo, how say you? Why, what can I? If thou canst nod, speak true. If carnal houses and our graves must send those that we bury back, our monuments shall be the moors of Christ.
What? Quite a mend in folly.
If I stand here, I saw him.
Aye, for shame.
Blood hath been shed ere now with the olden time. A human statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since two murders have been performed too terrible for ear. The times have been that when the brains were out, a man would die and at an end. But now they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns and pushes from our stools. It is most strange in such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do let you.
I do forget. Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity which is nothing to those that know me. Give me some wine. Fill full. I drink to the general joy of the whole table and to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here. To all and him we serve, and all to all.
Our duties on the planet.
Come on! And the quick miscite, let the earth hide thee. Thy bones are marrowless. Thy blood is cold. Thou hast no speculation in those eyes. Thou dost glare with all.
Think of this good tears, but as a thing of custom, tis no other, only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
What man dare I dare? Approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros or the hurtful tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerves shall never tremble or be alive again, and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit then, so test me the baby of a girl, and horrible shadow. Unreal mockery. Hell. Why so? Being gone, I am a man again. Pray you sit still.
You have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
You make me strange even to the disposition that I owe, and now I think you can behold such sights. And keep the natural ruby of your cheeks when mine are blanched with fear.
What sight, my lord?
I pray you speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Send not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night, and better health attend your majesty.
A kind good night to all. Good night, good night.
Good night. It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. What is the night?
Almost at us with morning.
I will tomorrow, and betimes I will to the weird sisters. More shall they speak, for now I am bent to know by the worst means, the worst.
By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. Open locks, whoever knocks.
Oh, no, you seek a black and midnight hag. What is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess, however you came to know it. Answer me to what I ask you.
He demands.
We'll answer. Say, thou'd rather hear it from our mouths or from our masters.
Call them, let me see them.
Come high or low, thyself and office. Deathly show.
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy. Hear his speech, but say thou not.
Macbeth, 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 beware Macduff. Beware the Thane of Fife. Dismiss me. Enough.
Whate'er thou art, for thy good caution, thanks. Thou hast half my fear aright. But one word more.
He will not be commanded. Yet. There's another more potent than the second. Macbeth.
Had I 3 ears, I'd hear thee.
Be bloody, bold, and resolute. Laugh to scorn the power of man, for none of woman born shall have Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff, what need I fear of thee? What is this that rises like the issue of a king and wears upon his baby brow the round and top of sovereignty?
Listen, speak not to it.
Be lion-mettled, proud, and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquish thee until great Birnam Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him.
That will never be. Who can impress the forest with the tree on fixed earth-bound root? Sweet Bodeman's good. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me, shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you.
Show his eyes and breathe his heart. Come like shadows,
so thou art too like the spirit of Banquo. Down, thy crown doth sear mine eyeballs, and thy hair, thou other gold-bound brow, is like the first. The third is like the former. Filthy hag, why do you show me this? The fourth, start eyes. What will the line stretch out to the crack of doom? Now I see it is true, for the blood-bolted Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his. What is this so?
I, sir, all this is so.
Where are they? John, let this pernicious hour stand I accursed in the calendar. Come in without there. Oh, you're the weird sisters.
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected with the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that touch them. I did hear the galloping of horse. Who else came by?
There's 2 or 3, my lord. To bring you word, Macduff is fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
Kind anticipation, my good exploit. The castle of Macduff I will surprise. Seize upon fight, give to the edge of the sword his wife and babes, and all unfortunate souls that treat him in his line. No boasting like a fool. His deed I'll do before his purpose cool. But no more sight. Where are these gentlemen? Come, bring me where they are.
Macbeth, tricked into confidence by the prophecies of the witches, goes on from violence to violence and murder to murder to retain his crown. First Banquo, then Lady Macduff and her children are struck down in an orgy of blood. Lady Macbeth, appalled at the results of the murder of Duncan, is unable to tear her mind away from the picture of that horror. Taking no part in Macbeth's later deeds and knowing little of them, she drifts further away from her husband and sinks into despair. Indeed, her conduct is so strange that it alarms one of her gentlewomen who seeks the advice of the castle doctor. It is the hour before dawn. We find the doctor and the gentlewoman on watch outside the queen's chamber door.
I have 2 nights watched with you, but can perceive no truth in your report. When was it she last walked?
Since his majesty went into the field, I have seen her rise from her bed, throw her nightgown upon her, unlock her closet, take forth paper, fold it, write upon it, read it, afterwards seal it and again return to bed, yet all this while in the fast sleep. Lo, you. Here she comes. This is her very guide, and upon my life, fast asleep. Observe her. Stand close.
How came she by that light?
Why, I stood by her. She has light by her continually and her command.
You see, her eyes are open.
Ah, but their sense is shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
It is an accustomed action with her to seem of washing her hands. I've known her to continue in this a quarter of an hour.
Yes. Yes. What?
Hark. She speaks.
Out, damn it. Out, I say.
One. I didn't need the time to do it.
Hell is mercy. Finally, Lord Fire, a soldier and a fear. What need we fear? Who knows if a nun can call our power to account? Yet who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him?
You must have.
Oh, the same as I had a wife. Where is she now? What? Will these hands ne'er be clean?
No more of that, my lord. No more of that. You mar all with this starting.
Go to, go to. You have known what you should not.
She spoke what she should not. I am sure of that. Heaven knows what she has known.
Here's the smell of blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little head.
Sighs there. The heart is sorely charged.
I would not have such a heart in my bosom for the dignity of the whole body.
Well, well, well.
Oh, pray God it be.
Wash your hands, put on your nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you yet again, Banquo's dead. He cannot come out on his grave.
Even so.
To bed, to bed. There's knocking at the gate. Come, 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 come. Give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone.
Macduff has gone to England to urge Malcolm, the eldest son of the murdered Duncan, to raise a power and march against Scotland. Whilst there, Macduff receives news that Macbeth has murdered his wife and children. With an army provided by England and spurred by revenge, Malcolm and Macduff set out for Scotland. Macbeth, at war on all sides, retired to his castle at Dunfanane and desperately fights on.
They come!
Bring me no more reports! Let them fly all! Till Burnham Wood remove the Dunfanane, I cannot faint with fear. A mind I sway by and a heart I bear shall never sag with doubt nor shake with fear. That devil damn thee, black thou clean-faced loon! Where got thou that goose look?
There is 10,000.
East villain
soldiers, sir.
What? Soldiers, wait, wait.
The English horse, so please you.
Take thy faith hence. I am sick at heart when I behold. I have lived long enough. My way of life is fallen into the sere yellow leaf. And that which should accompany old age is honor, love, conscience, obedience. Troops of friends I must not look to have. But in their steads, curses, not loud but deep, mouth honor, breath, which the poor heart would fain deny and dare not. Seaton!
What's your gracious pleasure?
What news more?
All is confirmed, my lord, which is reported.
I have fighted for my bones, my flesh be hat. Give me my armor! How does your patient, doctor?
Not so sick, my lord. She is troubled with sick coming fancies. The keeper from her rest.
Cure her of that. Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased? Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow, raise out the written troubles of the brain, and with some sweet oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of that perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart.
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
Oh, physic to the dogs, I'll none of it. Come, put my armor on. I will not be afraid of death and pain till Burnham Forest comes to Dunsinane.
The English forces, led by Malcolm and Macduff, on their way to fight Macbeth at Dunsinane, halt before a wood.
What wood is this before us?
The wood of Burden.
Let every soldier hew him down the bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the numbers of our host and make discovery or in report about it. Shall be done.
Hang out your banners on the outward walls. The cry is still, they come. Our castle strength will laugh his siege to scorn. Here, let them lie till famine and the ague eat them up.
What is that noise?
Cry of women, Gudrun.
I have almost forgot the taste of tears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a knight shriek in my fell of hair. Would the dismal treaties rouse and stir as life were in. I have supped full with horrors. Dioness, familiar to my slaughterous thoughts, can at once touch me. Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays of lighted fools away to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury. Signify nothing.
How came for you, thy tongue, thy story, quickly?
Oh, gracious, my lord, I should report that I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand me watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon me thought the wood began to move.
Lion! Slave!
Well, let me endure your wrath, if ye not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming. I say a moving grove.
If thou speakest false upon the next tree, shalt thou hang alive till famine cling thee. If thy speech is truth, I care not if thou dost for me as much. I pull in resolution and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Hear not till Burnham Wood do come to Dunsinane. And now a wood comes to Dunsinane. Arm, arm, and out! If that pretty about yourself appear, there is no flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be aweary of the sun, and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarm bell! No wind, comrade! At least we'll die with harness on our backs!
Now, near enough, your leafy screen, slow down and show like those you are. Worthy Macduff, and we shall take upon us what else remains to do, according to our order.
Do we but find the tyrant's power tonight? Let us be beaten if we cannot fight.
Make all our trumpets speak. Give them all breath, these clamorous carpenters of blood and death.
Why should I play the Roman fool and die on my own sword? Why, as I see lives, the gashes do better upon them.
Turn, hellhound! Turn!
Of all men else, I have avoided thee. But get thee back! My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice is in my sword. Thou bloody old villain and terms can give thee out.
I'll not fight with thee.
Then yield thee, coward! We'll have these Aurora monsters are painted upon a pole. And under it, here you may see the tyrant.
I will not yield to kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet and to be baited with a rabble's curse. Oh, Burnham Wood, we come to Dunsinane, and our foes being of no woman born. Yet I will try the last. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Lay on that duff, and damned be him that first eyes hold in a
You have just heard Shakespeare's Tragedy of Macbeth, adapted and directed by Charles Warburton. The musical arrangements were by Frank Black, and the orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Hunty. Macbeth was Alfred Shirley, Lady Macbeth, Florence Malone.